Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Focus Fire, episode number 15. I'm Alan. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff Dirty Pool.
Hey, everybody.
Or as I like to call it, the millennial and the boomer.
Okay, boomer.
Are you a millennial?
No.
I'm not either. Yeah. Are we both Gen X?
Just because I'm a little older than younger than you doesn't mean I'm a millennial.
We missed the millennial and the boomer, so we're right in between. So Focus Fire is, once again, a semi-regular competitive 40K podcast aimed at providing you with focused and practical advice that you can actually use to improve your game. That's our goal, anyways. Sometimes we don't reach it. This podcast is brought to you through the TFG Radio Network. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at focusfirepodcast@gmail.com. I'm actually awake today. Before we recorded last 2 weeks ago, I was just, I did an 8-hour drive from Phoenix to Los Angeles, and then we went and recorded because that's the only time we had available, and I was kind of like, I'm kind of out of it, but.
Yeah, so hold on to your butts, everyone. This is going to be funny.
I'm wired. Give me some caffeine. Tonight we have the second installment of our LBO prep series. Tonight we'll be covering three topics: game knowledge, recognizing mistakes, and creating tools to fix them. And then we're going to talk about the Dice Hammer GT, a GT that we might both be going to, or one of us might be going to. We'll see.
Alan's already getting cold feet.
Yes, I am. So let's start with topic number one: game knowledge. Take it away, Jeff.
So this kind of is a topic that I think a lot of people have an idea of what they think it is, but I kind of want to define what I think game knowledge is, and that to me is knowledge of what your opponents are playing and what they are capable of, what their armies can do. Because if you have that knowledge, if you know, for instance, that your opponent has, you're playing Custodes and you know they have Tanglefoot Grenade and Stooping Dive on their bikes, you will play very differently than if you did not know that they had those things. It's just kind of, in order to make informed decisions, you need to know both sides of the equation. So in preparing for LVO, it's very important that you are aware of the rule interactions that your opponent might throw at you or can pull out of his bag of tricks to surprise you at the LVO, because there's going to be 900 players there. You're going to be playing a wide variety of potential opponents, and while the majority of those 900 probably be Space Marines, not 50%, but they'll probably be 30 to 40% Space Marines.
My money is 50%, because people come play, will bring their A game, and spend all that travel and all that money, and I think we're going to see 50% Marines, but we'll see.
Yeah, I would. The highest I think it would get would be 40, personally. But anyways, you want to know what your opponent can do to you, because it's part of the calculus that you need to take into consideration when you're planning how you play the game and when you're actually playing the game. So this kind of discussion is aimed at helping you with some topics and tips that you can take home and help to improve your knowledge of the game prior to the LVO. And if you're not going to the LVO, this is still useful information. You should still do this. You don't need to do it in the next month or two, but you can kind of slowly work it into your routine. Now, the first thing to do is to read every codex out there and every supplement. And it is a tall order. And if you're one of those guys who you buy your codex and you read it, and if there's a supplement or something that buffs your army, you buy that and you read that, but you don't ever buy any codex that you don't play, well then, and you don't read them, then you're going to have a lot more work to do than if you're someone who has regularly kept up with releases over the course of 8th edition over the last 2.5 years. So it could be that you have a lot of reading to do, and it could be that you have a little reading to do. Myself, for instance, I read pretty much every book as soon as it becomes available. What about you, Alan? How what's your personal practice with reading the codexes?
I don't.
All right. So he's one of the guys who doesn't read anything and just gets surprised at the table.
Yeah, it's like,
that's why every
they
time
do
you
what?
It explains a lot about you, Alan. So this is what I do. You know, I right now I'm working through Faith and Fury. I haven't looked at the Sisters of Battle stuff, and you know, I'll read Blood Angel supplement when it comes out and gets available. But I do buy the codexes for the armies I play, because I like to have the book on hand, because it's a lot easier to open that up and to look at that than it is to open my phone, find the thing, wait for it to download if it hasn't downloaded, etc. So I still recommend getting your own codexes so that you have them as handy reference tools. And also to show your opponent if there's a stratagem or a rule that you're not sure of, you can easily look it up in your own codex. So definitely have those on hand. But part of the
thing, sometimes you're talking about me reading codexes. Sometimes I will read my own codex.
Oh, okay. I didn't think you would. I feel like all the rules are going your way, so you know it must be in your codex. But part of the reason you want to do that is you want to kind of, when you're reading a codex that's not your own, you want to look at it from the point of view that you're facing this army on the other side of the table. So when you're reading through the unit entries, the stratagems, you got to think about like, okay, does this strategy matter to me? You know, if I'm playing, orcs, I have a much different mentality than if I'm playing Tau or if I'm playing Space Marines. So when I read someone else's codex, I definitely am going to have my army in mind when I'm reading it, and I'm going to make notes of the things that I see that could really screw me up. Like, for instance, tremor shells for my orcs, really bad. Eldar, they don't give a shit. Like, if everything flies, they're like, I don't care. we ignore that. But for orcs, it's extremely important. So that Space Marine stratagem, knowing the lens at which you're looking at it through is really important. So, I would recommend reading the codexes as they come out. And if you haven't, you need to start getting a hold of them. If you don't have access to them online, you can get them through your team or your buddies who might have the codex. You can borrow it. Definitely need to read the big meta codexes like Space Marines. You need to know that back and forwards. You need to know Eldar, Orcs, you know, the Tau, a lot of things. And the reason why is, again, because if you've read a stratagem once, you may remember it in a matchup. When your opponent tells you what the stratagem does, you go, wait a minute, that doesn't comport with my memory of what the stratagem does. And your memory is probably wrong because you read it once. But if you've read it once, times your opponent actually has it wrong and you get the right rule. So it's important to have that kind of background knowledge of the game in your head floating around, because it'll help you identify things as they come up in the game and identify threats that you could potentially face in the future. So Alan, as someone who doesn't read any of the codexes out there, how do you address learning about other factions that are strong in the meta?
Well, you can read online. Basically, everybody gets their panties in a knot over what codex is and what they can do. But basically, how I learn is I play against a great deal of armies. So yeah, I had never read the Gene Stealer codex, and then I went against the Gene Stealer army. It's like, what are these blips? What do they do? What do you mean they can go? And then, you know, put them in reserve and things dropping down. It's like, oh, okay. So the first time, I didn't know what the heck was going on. The second time, I knew exactly what was going on. Another thing is especially some rare armies, like Space Wolves, you know. You go, you play against them. It's like, you know that you learned the hard way that they have a 6-inch heroic intervention, which is really good. And you learn things like what the Belt of Rust does. And you learn, you know, against Dark Elder, you learn the hard way what the Vexator Mask does. So I just play against the large armies, because there's a lot of stuff in the codex. Like, look at how many units are in the Space Marine Codex, but how many of those units are you really going to use and really see? And there's a lot of stratagems that are just, like, crap, too, and, like, relics that are crap. So by playing against a lot of armies, you'll find out what the most common and most powerful relics, stratagems, and units are, generally speaking.
So, you know, that's well and good if you're able to practice against a bunch of things. But what happens if you run into something you've never played before at a tournament?
I lose.
Okay. But you've overcome, you've persevered through a game in a tournament where you've never played someone, a faction before, right?
I get lucky sometimes, yes.
Okay.
But yeah, sometimes, yeah, because if you have a good army and models are models and they have a certain, you know, like toughness and strength and stuff like that and wound profile, unless they do anything particularly crazy, you can just usually just go at it and mix it up, and you know, vehicles are vehicles, and you know, there are some things like what a smash captain is and what the particular combos he do, you really have to really know about, rather than just, you know, being surprised by it.
Yeah, and I guess for me, when I say read the codex, I don't mean read every page of the codex. What I want to do when I'm reading a codex that I don't play is I just skim the stratagems. I look at the popular units that are out there, and I'll read their data slates if I think I need to. Like for Eliminators, the Space Marine Sniper guys, I read their data sheets. I'm like, I want to know what their modes of fire are and how I can play around it, what their range bands are, and that's important for me. I read the stratagems, read some of the relics, and you can, a lot of the things is you can focus in on, you'll hear on other podcasts or other places where people are talking about armies and their the specific things, or you'll see on a Comp 40K page, or you'll hear from your buddies about this, you know, super powerful combo, and you'll look into it and you can read those things so you understand how it works. And that's really what I mean when you have, when I say read the codex, is you want to have them available to you so that if something comes up, you can look at the rules and kind of understand what's going on. So one of the new things I'm going to be trying for this Dice Hammer GT that I'm coming up to right now is creating flashcards for kind of specific matchups. The idea here is I can look at a flashcard for a faction, and I don't want to have too much on it. If, you know, just a little bit, enough on there to trigger my memory about certain tricks that this army has against my orc army, how my orc army might perform, any ideas I might have about how to face the matchup and whatnot. So, you know, using Adeptus Custodes as a example again, because I just played a game against them. On that flashcard, I have, look, Tanglefoot Grenade, big bold letters. You know, it, I always forget about it. I always deep strike within 12 inches, 9 inches away from some foot custodes guy, and then I'm like, I'm going to fucking charge your ass, and he minus 5 to your charge. I'm like, oh, okay, well, never mind. I guess I'm just going to sit here and die. And then they die. The orcs die, so if they don't get the charge, surprisingly. So, like, having a little flashcard, I don't know if it's going to be the best thing for me, and, you know, I think everyone's going to have their own tricks or tools that they're going to use to help them get more knowledge about the game, but when I'm reading through the codexes, I'm going to make notes on a flashcard or a piece of paper, and then I'll transfer those notes onto a more concise flashcard. Like for Tau, one of the things I'm really concerned about is how many drones I can kill on average. So I have done the math on how many drones 30 shooter boys kill. And if I shoot twice, I have the math on how many I kill then.
How many?
Not many. It's like 4 to 5 per volley. So I can kill like 10 shield drones if I spend 2 CPs to shoot twice with some shooter boys, but the problem is I have to shoot twice at the end of the shooting phase, so, you know, it's not much when there's 40 drones on the table. So anyways, that's the kind of information that I'm going to be putting on these flashcards, and for, like, you know, Space Marines, I'm also having big bold letters, Auspex Scan. I always forget about Auspex Scan. I always drop down and get shot, and it's really not cool. So you're going to kind of have those army-specific information, and you might even have, like, for Imperial Guard, I'm going to have how many guard I can kill. And I don't know. I haven't done the math on that. But if how many infantry I can kill if I shoot my shooters at them, you know? Because I think that's going to be an important part of playing against 90 T3 models is I need to kill a lot of them on the first turn. You know, like, get out there, deep strike this unit in, blast away 40 or 50 guardsmen, and I think I'll be in a lot better position than if I'm killing them over the course of several turns. So that's the kind of information I'm thinking about putting on these flashcards. And I will report back to you guys at the next episode to see how useful it is. But I think everyone needs to have their own tools that works for their learning style on how to identify things they need to be aware of in any particular matchup. And then my last kind of thing I do a lot, and it's, I think a lot of people have a similar passion. In 40K, one of the coolest things that everyone does is they make lists. You make lists. You download Battlescribe, and you have 30 lists in Battlescribe or 10 lists in Battlescribe. You're deleting 10 every day. You're creating new lists. What I do is I will sit down and create lists for factions I don't play just to, like, figure out the combos and think, like, okay, if I'm going to take this guy, how can I build this list? And even if it's ends up being a net list or whatever, I still build it out in Battlescribe, and I think about, okay, what warlord trait would I give this guy? And if I'm facing orcs, what would I give him if I'm playing Thousand Sons? What would I give him if I'm playing Eldar? You know, how would I approach it? And so that kind of thing, you get to kind of get into the granular level of each army when you're building an army for it. And this can be as simple as your friend sends you his list and you kind of help him tweak it and optimize it. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that'll really help you get down into the nitty gritty of each army. And just, that stuff's in the back of your mind, and you may not remember it, but there may come a point where you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot that Dark Eldar Archons have this particular ability or whatever, you know, and to come up with some some background knowledge that might apply to a game that you're playing at a tournament. Alan, have you ever tried doing like flashcards, or do you create lists for armies that you don't play?
I did when you suggested it. I was like, oh, let's try it. But armies that some people have trouble making work, I go, well, maybe I can, let's see what's really in there. And then I kind of go, like, no, this army really sucks. Like, it's not successful.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of those things. I mean, if you have a team of other 40K players, obviously, having them bounce list ideas off you is a really valuable thing, because you get to see thinking about, and you get to look, try and optimize that list and hopefully give them some good advice. Yeah, you know, the final thing you can do for game knowledge is just kind of meta knowledge here. You can just keep track of the winning meta lists. You know, we keep plugging it, but 40K Stat Center is really good because they go over the lists and they have the guys on talking about their list and gals sometimes. Kind of just going into detail about how the lists work and things like that. So that's a really good place to start. And one other thing I used to do, which I don't have the time for anymore now that I have two kids, but I used to watch a lot of battle reports. And while battle reports, at least when I was watching them a couple years ago, they weren't competitive. A lot of them weren't competitive. And the ones with good quality, like Tabletop Tactics, good video quality, sound quality, and they're generally entertaining, usually are playing fluffy lists, and they're playing like Eternal War or Maelstrom missions or something. So it's usually not the best quality. But my understanding is that the quality of battle reports has improved extremely. It's gotten a lot better over the last year or two. And so watching battle reports can be a really good idea, especially if they're like ITC battle reports and you're prepping for an ITC tournament. You can watch these battle reports just to see how some armies are functioning and get some kind of knowledge about how people play those armies. So you can kind of, oh, I've seen a battle report with Tyranids in it before. If I play Tyranids, at least I have an idea of like what some of these units are called. You know, you may not even know what a Haro Specs looks like or a Turbogon looks like or whatever. But if you've seen a battle report with that in there, you can go, oh, that's the big bug. You know, so, you know, those are a couple of the things that I think would be really helpful for some people. And I've tried to give some tips in there for things that I don't even do anymore because I don't have the time for it, but maybe useful to other people who are listening. So the general takeaway is, you want to be ready to face any army out there in the meta and have a general idea of what their units are capable of, what tricks they can pull out of their hat to defeat you, and because if you have those few pieces of knowledge, you can develop a plan before the game on how to defeat that enemy. And then when you go into a battle blindly, you, as Alan indicated before, sometimes you just lose because they pull a trick out on you. And you didn't know anything about it, and you didn't play against it, and so you just get
trounced. What do you mean your custodes' bikes can heroically intervene?
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Or charge you and then fight before even charging units. You know, there's some big game swinging combos out there that you need to be aware of. So,
The subgenre of the battle reporters have also streamed games at tournaments. They aren't going to be as crisp, they aren't going to be as well produced, and you're not going to really know as intimately what's going on like you can in a battle report. They're still see, but it'll give you an opportunity to see top players playing top tournament army lists and going at it and what it's like playing at the top tables, and there's some good knowledge to be had there.
Yeah, and a lot of these tournaments are now having commentators. So you can go on Twitch and sometimes they're on YouTube and watch like the top table matches. Like you can go watch Brian Pullen play Junior Flahey at SoCal. I mean, I don't know if that's true. I assume you can from Frontline Gaming's thing. Or you could go to, probably see the Nova ones and the bigger tournaments. You can go and check them out. Watch those streams. So that's it for my topic. What do you got for topic number two, Alan?
Okay, and here we are, part two, recognizing mistakes and creating tools to fix them. And it's good that you were talking about flashcards a little bit because we're kind of going in that direction as well. Now, of course, the first thing to fix mistakes is you got to recognize them. You got to know when you made a mistake. If you don't know you made a mistake, you'll never fix it. But usually a problem will show itself shortly when you get your butt kicked for doing something horribly wrong. So, and also other times, you know, you can ask your opponent at the end of the game if you don't know what happened, what went wrong, what mistakes did I make? Because sometimes they're more, from their side of the view, they kind of have a better they know what you did wrong. And when you analyze it, you can kind of know what you did to fix them. Now, we're not here to talk about those, basically. This talk is just about talking about simple mistakes of omission or forgetting something. In 40K, there's a lot to remember, and some players are good enough to remember everything. And then there are people like me who forget a lot of things. And so we need a little bit of help.
As long as you don't forget your pants, I think we're all right.
So we're, you know, it's old millennials, you know.
Boomers, you mean?
Gen X. We have our senior moment. So we have so sometimes we need a little bit of help remembering things. And you see that a lot on stream these days, like a lot of, and there's been a lot of hubbub and a lot of discussion about it, because if somebody forgets to do like an assault move and then they want to take back and go back and do Zarya if I do that, and there's a big fight about whether they can or not, it's best practices to not be in that position and not having to take go back. So there's some examples, like I mentioned, forgetting to declare a charge. Now, what kind of tools can you use to help you remember charges? First of all, I think a lot of it is caused by time pressure. Everybody hears that clock ticking in the back of their minds. They got to go faster, faster, faster. But generally speaking, unless you play like a super horde army and you're taking super long time, you actually do have enough time. So what I'd recommend doing, even though you press for time, is during critical phases, take a moment, you know, if you're in the psychic phase, make sure all your psychers cast their spells. Because sometimes you'll be in the heat of the moment, it's like you cast like a warp time and then you just want to get stuck in and go into the next phase, or like cast prescience and you like, or a guide, and you just want to go on to shooting. There's a lot of times where I forgot to cast psychic spells on one or two psychers. So take a moment and just visually check and make sure everybody has cast.
Yeah, and one thing, I do that too, Alan, especially at the movement phase. At the end of my movement phase, I look, and I this is good practice, but sometimes I don't do it, but I try and stop at the end of my movement phase and say, okay, did I move everything I need to move? Did I bring in my deep strikers? Do I have all my movement base objectives? Like, am I in? Did I get recon? If I have that as a secondary, do I have engineers? Do I have? Am I on the objectives? Do I need to move into any auras with my guys? And that's the kind of thing that I try and do at the end of every phase. And like psychic phase is the same thing, you know. But movement phase is probably the most critical, because if you forget to move something, you're probably gonna get boned.
Yep. And one of the things you can also do is create a device to help you remember that. Now, normally people have like one, two, or three psychers maybe at the most. Is just make a simple card, like an index card, put your psyker on it, and put their psychic powers on, and just usually in the order that you want them to cast on. And this, especially when I did this when I played my Zinch army, because my Zinch army had, I don't know how many casters it had, but over six. And like the very first one is Gaze of Fate. You need that reroll, and then you work your way, or you can work your way down the list. But have a list maybe of all your psychers, and then you can kind of, you see all the powers that are just demonstrated. And generally, you know, you're not going to change your power from every game. Generally, you keep the same psychic powers. There's a few exceptions to that rule, but generally speaking, you know what you have. So have a little card and just go down the list.
Yeah. To speak to that, I had, when I was playing Chaos, I had on the back of my army sheet, I had a piece of paper I printed out with my army list on it. On the back of it, I had printed out, double-sided printer, all my psychers and the spells they had. And I just wrote down the spells, I had typed it out, so I'd give it to my opponent, and then I would say, okay, what do you have? And if I change it in my spells, I'd just cross it out and write, okay, instead of Death X, I'm going to take Prescience, or whatever it was. Because I didn't need it in that situation, or, you know, I would. But for the most part, it's like Alan said, you know what spells you're going to have, and you're not going to change them between games.
That's right. And then like the same thing for the assault phase. Take a step back, look, and make sure you've declared all your charges. And one of the things you can do is, they used to make, for fantasy, they used to have these little red arrows that said charge on them. And one of the things, if you have trouble forgetting charges, or if you skip over them once in a while, take your time and put all these charge markers down, declare your charges, and then take a quick look and make sure everything's charging, and then charge in. Because sometimes a lot of people get excited in the heat of the moment. Like, they drop down a deep strike and roll, like, a, you know, a 10 to charge. And it's like, wow, I made it. And it's like, they start rolling for the assault. So
I have done that several times.
I think we all have. It's like, oh, you have a unit off to the side just standing there going out in the open. And it was like, oh, crap. So you take your time, mark your charges, and just take a look at everything. And there's a few other things you can do, too. Like you mentioned, forgetting deep strikers. That's critical, too. So I lost the game because I forgot to bring a unit down. So not only did I lose the unit, which is fine, you know, okay, fine, I'll lose the unit. But it counted as a kill against me, and that gave him kill more, and I lost the game by 1 point.
Ah.
So I was like, hey, I forgot to bring him down. Shouldn't I get the kill? I killed him, not him. But apparently that doesn't work that way. So one of the things I'd recommend doing, especially if you have a lot of deep strikers, or you just have a few, because it was a new unit that I didn't really use that much, and I put it in deep strike reserve, and I kind of forgot about it. Take a sheet of paper and just, there's usually a corner of the map you're not using. Put a sheet of paper down and put your reserve units on the board. So that way you can clearly see them. You know they're there. And then at the end of the movement phase, when you're scanning around and making sure, you know, did you move all your units? Did you do everything else that's at the end of the movement phase? You can see your reserve units, and that could be a reminder to put them on. So a piece of paper is a small, or just, you can even fold a piece of paper in half, you know, and put them down there, because you don't need too much area. And there's always a bunch of, unless you're playing Orcs or Imperial Guard, there's always some space somewhere that you can... off to the side that you can put them down. But you want them on the board, so visually remind yourself and be there just screaming, hey, look at me, I'm here. So that's just a few tips and tricks to help you remember to do what needs doing.
Yeah, I think those are all really good tips, Alan. For me, I have definitely, with my orcs, I've made a charge. Okay, this guy moves 10, and then I'm going to be tri-pointing someone, right? So I go, okay, well, this guy's that I didn't declare... And I'll just say, okay, here's my consolidation. I'm just going to do my consolidation moves. And I'll just start, then I'll move all my guys, and I'll just start rolling dice to kill the unit I did charge. And then I'm going, oh, here I'm tripoint. I'm all excited. I'm in tripoint. And then I have 30 other orcs sitting on the other side of the table looking at me going, Dad, you forgot us, man. And I'm like, oh, shit, you know. And, you know, for some armies, that's an unforgiving mistake, because those guys, without any support and without... they're just not going to do anything for the game. They're going to get picked up before they can do anything. So you don't want to forget, you know, if you fail the charge, you fail the charge. Like yesterday, I failed two charges. I was playing Space Marine practice match. The shock attack guns on the first turn didn't do shit. And then I failed two charges that were like 8-inch charges in the first turn. I'm like, okay, well, fuck. That just happens. But forgetting to roll the charge is something you have complete control of. So you... getting these mnemonic or tool remembering devices is actually really interesting. And I thought the red arrow was a really interesting idea. Maybe you can get some, like, poker. What I actually thought is get some red poker chips. Because I use green poker chips for my CP, just so I have them, and they're not dice, so they don't get knocked over and rearranged. And I can pick them up, and I know how many I have. I can put them in little piles to kind of budget how I'm going to spend them. Put 4 here to double shoot and to Mordaka, 3 here for Green Tide, 2 here, and I just have it in my mind what I'm going to use them for. And one thing I thought, I'll do is I'll get red ones, and I'll put them, when I move a unit and I think I'm going to charge it, I'll put a red chip next to the unit on the table, and then when I declare the charge, I'll pick it up. And then I can look at the table easily and go, okay, are there any more red chips? You know, and you can even do that for things you want to shoot or anything like that. Things that you need to remember, you can just have a couple of poker chips at the table, and you just put them on things that you need to remember to do during the turn. And you place them there in the movement phase, because that's the time when you're going to be thinking about what your army is doing for that turn. You're going to be moving, okay, this unit's going to go over here, and they're going to charge and do something important. So I'm going to put a chip here next to them. This one is going to shoot. It's going to kill that unit, so I'm going to put a chip here, and then I'll put a chip next to its target. I mean, this might be a big extreme. Most people can probably remember most of that stuff. But just these are things that if you're finding that you're having trouble doing these things, you want to start looking at these kind of tools to help fix that problem.
Yeah, because I've played against a few Drukhari players, because they have so many Venoms and so many MSU little squads. they put a little marker beside everything that shoots to make sure everything shoots. Because otherwise, you know, you have all these little small units running around. It's very easy to either possibly double shoot or not shoot at all with certain units. So if you have trouble remembering to shoot some critical units, maybe you want to put a marker down also to tell you that.
Yeah, I was playing a Drukhari player who didn't. He had like 10 Venoms and he didn't have any system. I was like, "What? You shot those guys already?" And he's like, "No, I didn't." It's, and we got an army and there's no way to resolve it.
Right.
He thinks he didn't. I think he did. The next time I played the guy, he had a system. He had large casino dice, or not the dice he rolled for shooting. He'd place a 1 for the unit if it shot, the unit inside shot, a 3 if the vehicle shot, and a 5 if both had shot. So he knew. Easily, you could look at what was going on by who, what the how many pips were showing on the big dice next to the Venom. So that system kept him honest and also helped his opponent follow along with what was happening, so that he didn't have to keep explaining it to his opponent. I know these guys
shot. Yeah, I never heard of that before, but that's a really good system.
So he would, okay, the guys in size here shot 1. Okay, on this one, I'm gonna start with the vehicle 3. Okay, now the vehicle's already shot him, but I want to shoot the guys inside. I'm gonna turn to 3 to a 5. Boom, and it was super simple. I'm like, that's fucking brilliant. So like that, that kind of system is going to help him remember not to forget to shoot things, and also to help his opponent understand what's going on. Because if you've ever played against 10 Venoms before, it's really hard to keep track of who's shooting what and when, because you don't want to all necessarily shoot, like, you know. Sometimes you just go from left to right on the table and you shoot everything in a row because it doesn't really matter. But for like poison, it matters, because, you know, you have range bands to think about. You have, you know, I want to kill this unit down to a man. I don't want to waste shooting by just rolling all the guys who are in range of it at the same time, this kind of thing. So all good stuff.
All right. And we're on to topic number 3, the Dice Hammer GT. Now, it's the GT this weekend that one or both of us might be at. So I'm a little bit on the fence of whether or not I'm going. I probably will be going, and I'm probably going to be changing my army, so I have 2 hours to create my new army list to get it in by the deadline.
Classic Alan.
So,
classic
Alan. Yeah, what I know. It's like,
Even switching your army list, you're switching armies. You're going from Eldar to Z.
It's one of the classic mistakes of all time, getting in a major land war in Asia and she's switching an army up just before GT. So it'll be interesting. So,
well, I know what I'm bringing, and I already submitted it, but I will go over it for the listeners.
I'd be changing armies tonight is because I kind of want to change for LVO, and I want to get as much practice as possible. Because Chapter Approved, which we didn't talk about because it's not officially out yet, but Chapter Approved changed a bunch of points. I kind of like the points of my... I'm basically going to go back to my Zinch army. So I like kind of what they did with the Zinch army and what points got lowered. And also, we got the news from Open Day in England that the Thousand Suns Psychic Awakening, is that the...
Yeah.
Is gonna be previewed, I believe, on the 25th of December, which means it'll be open. It'll be on sale probably a week or two. But so, I believe it'll be in play for LVO. So
yeah, that's maybe not, because it's LVO is the end of January, so they usually have a 30-day window.
Reese is pretty. Reese actually has it pretty locked down to 2 weeks, generally speaking. A week is too early to have everybody know everything and know the issues and get. All right, so Jeff, tell us what you're going to be taking to the Dice Hammer GT.
Well, I'm bringing my my orc list that I was running over the summer. A little minor changes. It's 3 battalions of orcs, and you know, I think orcs don't match up terribly well in the Marines, but I haven't had my butt kicked enough to know that yet. So I'm hoping I can do well. But
you beat 12 assault centurions last night. Look at that.
Yeah, but it's getting my pants. I don't know how I did that. I don't think I could replicate that success again if I was to play the same matchup again. But it is an Evil Sun battalion, which is the extra advance and charge guys. I have a war boss on a war bike, a custom force field and big mech, 3 unit of boys, and that's it in that one. Then I have a Bad Moon battalion, which is the shooty ones. They have 2 weird boys, 30 Shooter Boys and 20 Gretchen, and then I have 15 tank buses with 6 bomb squigs, which are fucking great, dude. These guys, I used to run 10 tank buses because I only had 10 and 4 squigs, and I went up to 15, and it just, the increased damage they put out is just nuts. Like, they are so good, and they, I would never go back down to 10. Like, they're not just, you know, they're not just, you know, 33% better. They're, like, insanely better. Because it just, like, you get to that critical breaking point where you can just fucking kill, like, 4 things in one turn. If you're shooting at vehicles, you can split 7 here, 8 here, and then just blow up 2 vehicles and shoot again and blow up 2 more. It's, like, they're nuts. And because I usually deep strike them, and then they come in, they blow up a bunch of stuff, and then they get shot promptly and die. They're kind of a one-shot pony. But they're in there. And then I have a Death Skull Battalion with 3 shock attack guns, one of whom is my Warlord, who has the Relic Shock Attack Gun. I usually give him the Warlord trait for +1 to wound against vehicles and monsters. And then there's 30 Death Skull Gretchen, and then the Mad Doctor himself, Doc Grotznik. And the idea of the list is it's a big block of orcs that kind of moves up in the force field, at least deploys in the force field, and then moves up and is protected by a 5-up invulnerable for save and a 6-up feel no pain. So it's pretty durable to anti-infantry shooting. And then the shock attack guns and the tank buses can kill the bigger threats like Imperial Knights or Chaos Knights and larger vehicles and whatnot.
That's like elder vehicles, perhaps?
Yeah, like when you and I played.
We played last weekend, and it was, you made me sad.
Yeah, it was great.
Fun
for me.
I knew the die roll to go first was gonna be very important. And that's one thing I really, really, really hate. I hate armies that are dependent on going first. I want an army that can kind of take an alpha strike army, but I'm in the situation now, it's like with Marines and a bunch of other stuff, it's like, well, how about I go first? And of course, you roll 3, and I'm +1, so I need a 2 to tie and a 3 to win, and of course, I roll a 1.
Oh, yeah.
So, so I probably got a little too fancy. I put a lot of stuff, I have a lot of warp spiders and Wraith Knight. And some Swooping Hawks, which I still hate, in reserve. And so I didn't have too much on the board, but your stupid shock attack guns, turn 1, they killed 2 Crimson Hunters and a Night Spinner. So that crippled a lot of my firepower. So I could have shot at you with those turn 1. And then turn 2, since I have like most of my army in reserve, you go again. You killed my last Crimson Hunter and my last Night Spinner. And of course, my Night Spinner with the shock attack guns, he goes, oh, 1 shot got through. It's like, okay, roll damage, you rolled a 6. And then the last shock attack gun I was shooting, okay, I'll shoot you with that guy.
Oh, yeah.
1 goes through, oh, another 6 damage. Oh, great. 2 thanks. 6s. Yeah, that's wonderful. So by turn 2, you took off 5 of my vehicles, and then my Wraith Knight goes down, bottom of turn 2, and then turn 3, he can't take those stupid shock attack guns, so.
Yeah, that's how it's so.
Apparently, you have good luck, but apparently you've had some incidents where they didn't do so good.
Yeah,
for
like yesterday I played an Iron Hands Successor Brigade.
Yeah, how'd that go?
And my shock attack guns killed, on the turret first turn, they killed 3... eliminators, not 3 units, 3 eliminators between the, but even shooting twice, so like 4 instances of shooting with the Relic of Shock Attack on, it was pretty miserable. I was very disappointed with that.
So. Yeah, you hit me like crazy and you're wounded like crazy, and I'm like, that's nice.
The thing with the orc list is the shock attack guns are very random, and that's why I have 3 of them in there, because it kind of gives you more, opportunities to even out over the course of the game, but the tank buses are really there for the consistency. Like, I know that if I bring them in, they will fucking kill 2 or 3 things without question, and then die. But the shock attack guns will be protected for the entire game, and unless there's eliminators, which are super common actually. So they sometimes they're dying now, but they're theoretically protected because they're characters. But yeah, that's what I'm bringing to Dice Hammer. There's going to be a lot of people at Dice Hammer. I mean,
a lot of big names, too.
Yeah, Junior Aflehi is going to be there, who was at Top Table at SoCal. Brandon Grant.
Reese Robbins.
Reese, yeah, from Frontline Gaming. Ray Ahumada from the Veteran Gamers. John Starks, who just got picked up by Team Zero Comp.
Richard Cozart.
Oh, Richard, yeah, he's been bringing some garbage ass chaos lists, I'm sure.
He's been struggling a little bit, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll see how he does.
But I have been too. Like a lot of people in this post Marine meta having trouble coming up with a list that will just that will deal with Marines.
Yeah, and I think for me, I just haven't played enough Marines to really figure out. You know, play Orcs are saying, "Oh, Orcs are trash. They just get picked up by Marines. Iron Hands just pick them all up." And that seemed to be the case when I played them yesterday. I just got all my works got picked up pretty quick. But I think it's kind of it's still too early to tell for me. I'm going to just keep playing with the Orcs. I'm going to play them with OVO. And who knows? I might just get stomped by Marines. But we'll kind of I need to play it out. And I don't really want to switch factions prior to OVO because I want to end the season with the Orcs.
Yeah, I kind of want to end the season with Tzeentch too, because I'm leading the Tzeentch faction. I'm not going to make any dent in the Eldar faction, so I want to maintain my grip, my measly Tzeentch award. It's not much, but it's all I got. So, all right, with that, we're pretty much done. You think Marines are going to win?
Dice Hammer?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think there's a few good Marine players going, but I think, you know, with Ray and Brandon and Junior all being good lists.
Yeah, I think Reese said he was going to take Eldar, so.
Oh, yeah?
So, like, a lot of the, there's not going to be that many Space Marines, I don't think. Well, not anybody who's big name taking a.
Yeah, yeah, so we'll see how it goes. But we'll get back to you. I'm the over-under. I'm going to give you 65% chance of showing up. you're my ride down there, but so hopefully you do.
Or I'm driving?
I guess I could drive, sure. Figure we switch it up, Alan.
I could, I guess.
All right, guys. Well, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or you have any just something you want to tell us, feel free to email us at focusedfirepodcast@gmail.com and have yourself a wonderful day.
Good night, everybody.